want to thank you all for having me here today as a guest speaker. One of the last times I ever did public speaking was when I was a freshman in high school, but it was an impromptu. We didn't know what we were to say, and we came down to the front of the auditorium, and there was just a little piece of paper sitting at the front, and you had to open it up, and there was one word, and the word was patriotism. And you were supposed to give like a 10 to 15 minute speech on patriotism. My mind went blank, my knees were knocking, and I just stood there and I said the word. I don't know how to speak about this, and I just went and sat down. I promise you, I will not do that to you today. Just a little bit about me before we get started, just so you can kind of get a feel for who I am. My name's Mandy May. May is the last name. I spent my younger years in rural area of Rush County, Indiana. I was surrounded by cornfields and soybeans and wooded areas for playing cowboys and Indians with my brothers and sisters. I have two older brothers, that's not true. I have two older sisters and two younger brothers. And we lived way out in the country. And as a little entertainment, we used to dance on my father's car, the hood of this car, singing country songs, because that's all we knew. And in that day, the favorite country song was Delta Dawn. And we took our little hairbrush and sang Delta Dawn with our make-believe microphone. We used to pull weeds and detassel corn, and church camp was one of our favorite pastimes. And we used to get out and pull weeds in the garden. Well, that really wasn't a favorite, but it was mandatory if we wanted to stay on the good side of mom. One of the things that my mom, because we always had a big garden, and we planted lots of, you know, vegetables and such. And my mom, she used to can, you know, many of you still probably can, you know. And my mom, I always loved this about her. Every time one of the jars would seal, you know, you would hear this pop. And she always used to say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." I love that about her, and she's still with us. My dad has passed on, but my mom is still with us, and she still says, "Praise the Lord," just about with everything. And as a little girl, I was baptized with my sisters at the church camp that I grew up attending. And I understood the importance of a relationship with Christ, even at a very early age. And I remember specifically, it was 1971. I rode my little bicycle up the road to Aunt May's house, and just to get alone with God. And I went behind the big red barn out in the dirt and the gravel. I bowed down to pray to the Lord. It seemed like that was the most perfect place to be. I remember asking, "God, show me who you are." And that day, nothing seemed to happen. But I do know that God and I have never forgotten that prayer. It wouldn't be until years later that I took notice of his interworkings in and out throughout my life and in the lives of others. God did hear my prayer. He has shown me who he is time and time again. I have two children. My daughter is a school teacher in Indianapolis. And recently, she and her family returned from a vacation in Europe. And I have a 7-year-old grandson. How many have grandkids? Oh, thank God we live past teenage years and such, just so that we can get to the grandchildren stage of life. And so anyway, my daughter asked my grandson the question, where do you want to go for your next vacation? He quickly replied, China. Surprised by the response, she asks, well, why do you want to go to China? Because, Mom, that's where all the toys are made. Well, he's not wrong. My son is a graphic design artist, and he resides in Los Angeles, California. He's happily engaged to a very sweet young lady, and they're planning a destination wedding in Japan in upcoming months ahead. So what I came here today to share with you is a story. When uncertainty approaches, it is easy to feel lost and alone, yet in these very moments that we are called to lean on our faith and trust in the Lord. In Proverbs 3:5-6, it gently reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Trust isn't about having all the answers. It's about knowing who holds the answers. Even when we can't see the way forward, God already is there preparing our path. In Romans 8:21, he tells us, with God, all things are possible. And who can be against us? There's no one that can be against us, right? With God? He's on our side. He's always on our side, even when it feels like he isn't. Like, did he abandon us? No, he did not. He is always there with us. We are all likely familiar with a story about, the story in the Bible about David. Just like David, God wants us to face our enemies that came against us. Face the giant and slay the enemy, the Lord tells us to do. 1 Samuel chapter 17 gives an account of David and Goliath, and no one in the army of men felt brave enough to take on Goliath. Even at a young age, David understood the power within him. David came along the battlefield. David was offered advice from the experts on how he should go about taking down the giant in the land, even though they weren't even brave enough to do it themselves. They were giving their advice. Try this or that, they suggested, but David had his own idea. Only armed with a sling and 5 little stones, David stayed focused. He took aim, released the stone that took down the giant. David was a king, a warrior too. But before David became all that, it was his time alone in the field with the sheep and alone with God that taught him his mastering skills for his future. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. John 10:10, another great example of overcoming. And it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I have come to give you life and have it more abundantly. Stones can be used for many things. Grinding wheat for food, for building up or tearing down. Stones can be used as metaphor for harsh words that we speak. Stones can be used for stoning the innocent, like Stephen. The words we speak and our actions are like throwing stones in the water. They will have a ripple effect. Ever since time began, God has wanted us to be like him. He sent his only begotten Son to free us from the bondages of sin. God will move mountains, part the waters, and even walk on water to demonstrate there is nothing that he can't do to bring us a message of love, peace, and an unimaginable love, even amidst the trials of life. In Joshua 1:9, he says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God, he will be with you wherever you go. With permission, I want to share a story of a friend. She's a beautiful lady with a British English accent who is a gifted artist and a business owner. To protect her identity, I will refer to her as Ellen. Ellen owns and operates a safari tour bus where others can experience the adventures of Africa at Kruger National Park and offers accommodations for overnight guests. It was only by divine assignment that two lives from two continents with one God would enable the two lives to intercept to create such a story of how God orchestrated his love for his daughter in Africa. During the earlier days at her home, Ellen basked in the quiet serenity of the African night air, listening to the symphony of music of the birds, night owls, hooting and occasional grunts of the hippos and roaring of the mighty lions in the jungle, sipping hot tea in the flickering of candlelight, a cool breeze, and a peaceful place she called home along the banks of the Crocodile River. Ellen allows me to share her story, knowing that it is possible that she is no different or more important than most. We all have a story. Just many of them go untold. Why should she allow this story to be told? To help others through their pain. I still remember the song we used to sing when I was a little girl at church. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. How many remember that song? I want to challenge you not to remain silent in your pain. Like David, come out and be a warrior. On a side note, singing is also a form of battle against the enemy in darkness. By a single phone call, Ellen's life was forever changed. This is the beginning of the ripple effect that took place in the life of not only Ellen, but the lives of her entire family. As she attentively listened, her tears dropped to the ground as she heard words that no wife, mother, or grandma ever wants to hear. She gripped the phone tighter as if it would help her stand, though her knees felt weak, and in just one moment, her world was shattered. Could she ever find strength to smile again? Would she ever be able to face the public, lest they find out? Would she ever feel her family's love or embrace again? It was in this moment that the weight of heaviness was upon her heart. Have you ever had a burden so heavy it felt like there was a mountain on your chest, especially in the mornings when you wake up? This was Ellen. Her heart was heavy And it was breaking open, and it was as if all the love in it felt like it was leaking out by the painful, sinful act of another. That fatal phone call from Ellen's son is when she learned her husband of 42 years had been touching his own granddaughters inappropriately. Ellen nearly lost her breath, gasping for air, mind racing and her heart beating out of control. She could only hear herself saying, "No, no, no." Ellen nearly. She just felt like she was going to faint. Ellen continued to listen in silence as her children screamed their rage. In all these years, had she missed a sign, some kind of clue? Confronting her husband with the accusation, Ellen was sure there had been some kind of horrible mistake. As she looked into his eyes, it was as if looking into a long, dark tunnel in which she saw life suddenly ebbing away. There he stood, staring back with no denial. The realization of his hidden actions of sin was found out, and with just a nod of the head, acknowledged his horrible secret. He packed his bags, gonna go stay with a friend while he sought treatment. Like many of us, he too had to face his giants, get help for his convictions and recognition of where he allowed the open door of the enemy to come in and destroy the lives of his family. Picking up the broken pieces of Ellen's life, Ellen visited a small prayer group. She was looking for answers and looking for God. A fellow Christian took notice of Ellen, sensing something was off. The fellow believer offered up encouragement, stating that she may not know the need in Ellen's life, but God did. Whatever is happening in your life, Ellen, know this: God is your covering. He is your banner of love. One more thing. Don't run to the sin. Run to the Savior. If you don't, you will never come back from that dark place. This is what we call locking eyes on Jesus. Becoming one with him in spirit, soul, and mind. He is the only one. He is the only one who can save us. Knowing that the healing journey would be long, Ellen needed time alone with God. Amid the noise and the chaos, discerning God's voice can feel like finding a whisper in a storm. But remember, God speaks to us in the stillness, in the quiet moments of our heart. In Psalm 46:10, he encourages us to be still and know that I am God. Getting alone with God and traveling abroad was exactly what she needed to do. When we quiet our minds and listen intently, we can hear his gentle guidance. We often have the tendency to want to throw a stone at the one who hurt us. Know this: God has a greater plan. Arrangements for flights and accommodations were made. Friends and family were made aware of the itinerary, and when the time felt right, she would then return. Before she left on her sabbatical, a friend felt an urge to give Ellen a prayer shawl and reiterated as to how God would remain steadfast in his support. The prayer shawl was lacking in style and color. It was not like the one she had seen before, but she thanked her friend, received the gift, and appreciated the kind gesture. Many others offered their advice on what they thought she should do. Go this way. Oh, no, no, no. Go that way. But she knew she had to walk her own road. Ellen chose faith in action, packed the black prayer shawl with her on her journey. God encouraged her to do so. God told Ellen, whenever she felt overwhelmed with grief or loneliness, the prayer shawl would serve as a reminder that his banner of love was with her as she traveled alone. Ellen was obedient, but told God, I feel so foolish. I am not Jewish, but I know that I heard your voice to bring this along. During her four-month journey, there was many nights that she covered herself and poured out her heart to our Heavenly Father. Beneath his banner of love, she could sense his presence. It was as if he put his arms around her and she felt warm and comfortable. The voices of the giant stomping through her mind and emotions were getting smaller as she continued practicing, putting on her spiritual armor daily. She was growing stronger. Then Ellen heard the voice of God with a request. If you honor your marriage vow and forgive your husband, I will change your heart. This would not be easy. It is a process. Living as followers of Christ means embodying faith in every step, especially when the path is uncertain. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. When we anchor our lives in his promise, we find strength to endure, even when our understanding fails. Allowing Christ to lead her through the storm is what her focus would remain on. As her time away from ordinary life was now ending, not knowing what lay ahead, Ellen knew that God would be there to help her through it all. Life on the home front for Ellen was learning how to live with her husband again and honoring her marriage vows, laying down the stones, casting away the rocks that harden the heart, learning firsthand how to become a heart of flesh, one filled with unconditional love, just as Jesus asked us all to do. Months had passed now, and at first she thought her husband was just growing weary. He grew a little tired too easily than he once did. A doctor's visit is scheduled to run some routine tests. Perhaps he's just coming down with the flu, they both thought. The diagnosis was not the expected answer. It was not just a little storm brewing. It was a hurricane. How can tragedy strike twice? The sudden abruption of words that change your world forever is to be told that your husband has cancer. And treatment could be done, but the expected outcome would be that would only extend his life for a few more months. God, where are you? How could this be? I forgave my husband. I reconciled my marriage, just as you had asked me to do, and for what? You're going to take him home? Just as Ellen had been advised before, run to the Savior. She got alone with God under the place of rest, and where she had felt his presence, she poured out her heart, just as she had done many times before, but somehow it was different. The place of peace and warmth now only felt icy cold and silent, and she felt very alone in the darkness, screaming out for God to come, "Hear my cries, O Lord." She was angry, she was broken, and felt like God had betrayed her. Tugging to remove the prayer shawl off her head and shoulders, she threw it across the room in anger. "God, must I remind you of your words? You are the healer. You are the creator. Only you alone can heal my husband. God, if you're going to heal my husband, then you need to let me know, because my heart is breaking. But God, if your plan is to take my husband home, then it needs to look better than that." There across the room lay the black prayer shawl, piled heap, no longer a tent of warmth and comfort, but only a reminder of a promise that seemingly was unkept. Days and weeks had passed by with little to no improvement in the overall health of Ellen's husband. Understanding God and his ways may be hard for us to understand, but let me encourage you that even before we ask in prayer, God is already working to bring the answers to it. Matthew 6:8. "Do not be like them, for you, Father, knows what you need before you ask." Ellen stayed busy with her daily tasks, and after all, she still had a business to run. And any day now, missionaries were due to arrive. Much preparation for their arrival kept her busy. Food prep, sheets on the bed, fresh flowers, gassing up the safari tour bus, as this would be the first stop after arriving for rest for the missionaries from Mozambique. Kruger National Park is always a highlight. Everyone hopes to see the lions and the hippos, and watching the animals in their natural habitat never disappoints. Refreshments after the tour, and now time for rest. It was time to turn in for the night. Little did Ellen know, but today, God brought the gift of an answered prayer. She had been asking God for months, and she would soon find out in the morning. Early morning coffee brewing and the fragrance of bacon frying was enough to wake anyone's taste buds. The morning chores were interrupted by a tap at the kitchen door. Ellen stopped what she was doing to see who was there. Standing before her was one of the missionaries, holding something in her hand and explaining how it all came about. For Ellen, it was as if time stood still. The words of the missionary, holding a gift, not just any gift, but a sign of God's intentions. In her hands was a prayer shawl, a beautiful one, like the ones in the magazines, white, gold, and royal blue, adorned with Jewish prayer inscriptions and knotted tassels too. It was as if time stood still. The missionary spoke again, stating, "I don't know what it all means. All I know is God spoke to me and clearly said to give this to you." Ellen then replied, "I know exactly what it means. Just give me a moment and I will share my personal story." She says, "Normally I don't share my personal story with with strangers, but this was an act of obedience, and I will share my story with you." Ellen went back to the kitchen. In 2013, I, Mandy, myself, had an urge to go on a mission trip. I searched for ministries and locations. I felt a peace to join up with Georgian and Winnie Banoff's team. They were headed to Mozambique in July of that year to join forces with Iris Global. Roland and Hailey Baker were incredible missionaries that I only had read about, and the dream of following their footsteps would be life-changing for me. The application was sent, and references and the required written essay as to why I wanted to go to Mozambique. I had to overcome just a few hurdles, but it was meant to be, and I was chosen to be a part of the team. And with God, all things fell right into place. My bags were packed and airline tickets printed. Off to bed early I went, for the race to the airport would come early in the morning. That night I dreamed of an angel entering to my room. He was dressed in a long white gown, had brownish shoulder-length hair. Angel crossed the path past the foot of my bed and came to my right side. He leans over and I hear him say, "Mandy, don't forget to take your prayer shawl with you." I said, "Oh yes, I almost forgot." Even in the dream, I remember thinking to myself, "I didn't know I was supposed to take the prayer shawl with me." Then the dream ended. The next morning, the alarm clock awakened me from my slumber, rising, stretching, and wiping the sleep from my eyes with a yawn. And then that's when I noticed the prayer shawl was no longer wrapped around the post of my bed where it had been for years, but it was now laying outstretched at my feet. The prayer shawl was a gift given to me by a couple of friends after they had returned from a visit to Israel. They felt in their heart that I should have it. Suddenly, there it was, laying at my feet. I then realized the dream that I thought had been a dream the night before wasn't a dream at all, but a nightly encounter with an angel. Did you ever see the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Well, this is kind of how that trip went. 2.5 days later, I arrived in Pemba, Mozambique. Dirt roads, traveling in open-air flatbed trucks, and hours of traveling to the bush, delivering the word of the good news. I witnessed many miracles, ears open in the lame walked. I witnessed food being multiplied and that many were healed in places that we can't see, like their heart. In the 2.5 weeks of traveling and visiting churches, inner cities, and the local recycling dump where many lived, I never once learned of the need for a prayer shawl. I kept it clean. It was neatly tucked inside of a pillowcase and a pillow that I kept with me at all times. Now we're in the last leg of the journey, and I thought, something must be wrong. Who needed this prayer shawl? Did I miss the sign? We were now headed from Mozambique to South Africa. So I announced to the other members of the team, if they hear someone in need of a prayer shawl, to please let me know. The very instant I said this, I heard God say, when it's time to give out the prayer shawl, I will let you know. Slightly embarrassed by the reprimand, I waited for my next instructions from God. We arrived at our destination and were instructed to take our seats. Announcements made, all hands stay inside the vehicle for your safety and the safety of others. Kruger National Park, it was huge. It has 1 million acres of wildlife and it is beautiful. That's when I heard God speak again. Mandy, give Ellen the prayer shawl. Ellen? The tour guide? Surprised, and furthermore, it was the first time I didn't have it physically with me. We had been instructed to leave our belongings on the bus. I chuckled. I knew God must have something. He must know something that I didn't. Would I see her again? The tour ended and refreshments were being provided, like a nightcap before bed, in the cafeteria where I spotted Ellen. That's when I realized that Ellen was more than just a bus driver, but she was also our chef preparing our meals. I had an important delivery to make, and I rushed out early from my dorm room the next morning and headed over to the cafeteria. I didn't see her at first, and I decided to knock on the kitchen door. I waited a moment, and the door opened, and there stood Ellen. I stood with the prayer shawl in my hands, a gift to me all the way from Israel, and now a gift to Ellen all the way from United States. What it all meant, I did not know. I did know one thing. If an angel was sent on an assignment to my bedroom at night, it obviously had an important meaning, one that only a lady from South Africa could know. That morning over breakfast, Ellen sat down with me and explained the events to me that unfolded months before. Now here I am sharing a story of forgiveness. It's one of the most beautiful acts a human can give. When we learn to forgive the way God does, there is an immediate and complete change in relationship. Instead of hostility, there is love and acceptance. Ellen still resides in South Africa. She is now a widower and has continued her journey of sharing her heart and the lessons in life she has learned. Her husband undoubtedly rejoices with God, for forgiveness is extended to everyone, everyone who believes in the workings of the cross and who know who their Redeemer is. We are all conduits of God's love and mercy. We all need to get going and sharing the love of God. He knows no boundaries. When it comes to delivering a gift that is across many waters and thousands of miles away, this reality transcends all natural understanding. It exemplifies His marvelous abilities to hear the cries of our prayers long before they are ever spoken. So today, I don't know what is in your hearts. God did not give me any supernatural revelation about that. But what I can say every one of us have walked through trials, and this is just one of many. I mean, there can be abandonment issues. There could be just sins that we all have hidden inside of our heart. And God wants you to know that He can heal everything. We just have to be willing. We have to be willing. So I just want to say, I would love to pray for anybody. I am no special person other than a person who loves God with all their heart. And if I can help pray for you, or if even the prayer team wants to come up because somebody's got a little something, maybe this nudged the rock in your heart, let's remove it. Let's not remove it to throw it out or at the person who hurt us, but remove it for good so that we can get on with sharing the good news with many other people. So if you have a prayer request or anybody would like to have prayer, I'd be happy to pray for you.